representatives to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there agenda deletions, additions, or changes of sequence? Superintendent remarks prior to public comment?
Chris, were you going to pull the e-read?
That's for consent.
Okay.
It's time for public comment. This is for items that are not on the board agenda. We're happy to see you here. We thank you for taking time to attend the meeting. Santa Cruz City School Board members appreciate your presence and your comments regarding items that are not on the agenda. Due to legal constraints of the Brown Act, your trustees are not allowed to comment on items that aren't on the agenda during this time, but I welcome whoever would like to step up to the podium for public comment.
Hello, everybody, tonight. My name is Ron Eschy. I'm president of the Santa Cruz High Cardinal Club. We're an athletic booster club for the school, raising money for the children there and their sports. And speaking of sports, on behalf of the Cardinal Club.
You want the mic here, sir?
You want that with Mike?
You're going to want to give you a mic.
Okay. On the.
Just flip it out.
This way?
Yeah, did you switch it?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Come
on.
Just start talking. It'll work.
On behalf of the Cardinal, can you hear me? Better?
Yes.
On behalf of the Santa Cruz High Cardinal Club, I would personally like to thank the board for unanimously voting for approval of the new athletic field for Santa Cruz High School. My wife and I would also like to do the same as parents. We have two children there, and our little son Ron. We would also like to thank you, he's not there yet, he'll get there. So we plan on a bill as well. So we'll be here a while, and again, the bill will be there a while, and we won't have to deal with weather as much, and be a lot safer for the athletes, both in all the sports, and of course, during school hours with PE and things like that. So thank you very much, really appreciate it.
All right, just following up what Ron said, is that we have a number of parents here and who work on the school all the time, and they are just very grateful that you paid attention to the school and you helped out and made it a much better experience at school for their kids. And we have some soccer players back there who, through your efforts, will be able to play on a good field at their own high school this coming year. And it'll just be a wonderful thing. So I appreciate the care and the district and its staff and the board reaching out and doing something that is so valuable in school. Thanks.
Hi, we're all on the Varsity Girls Santa Cruz High Soccer Team, and we just really want to say thank you because we know so many people who have gotten injured on this old field and so many times that we couldn't play on it, and that there would be no space for other people to watch our other games, and it was just like a mess, and it's just really, really exciting to have all that fun stuff.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've been injured. Thank you.
Just saying thank you again for passing.
Thank you.
I'm Sheila Peck. I'm the president of the PTA at Santa Cruz High, and I also want to thank you. I'm just thrilled that you found a way to do it. As you probably know, each year after football season, we don't have much of a field, and all the other sports go someplace else to play. I'm also thinking just about the water part of it, the water conservation. The projections are that we will have drier years to come, and it's exciting to me that we have a field that doesn't need irrigation. and so we won't have to have the fights about water use, and we'll also probably be expecting some higher water bills, and we won't have to worry about that. And also just think that it's great for the kids. This is an investment in all of them, and not just in one sport, but in all of the sports, and we're going to all be able to call this our field. So thank you so much.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your comments. And it's Superintendent Report.
I'm going to jump back. I should have done this before public comment, but we do want to pull agenda item 8.1.13 and 8.1.14 from consent. This is the RFPs for E-rate. The state gave all districts more time, so we'd like to take some more time on these proposals because there were kind of issues with the RFPs statewide. So it's going to just give us some more time before we bring it back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
And then my report for this evening. We had our study session last week, which was wonderful. It was really great to have teachers sharing where we are with mathematics. I really appreciated all of their work to share where we are as a district with math in each of our grade spans. But it's been a while since I've done my superintendent's report because it was way before spring break, since we had a formal board meeting. And just before the spring break, the vice president and regional manager of Wells Fargo Bank in Santa Cruz took all of the secondary principals out to lunch and introduced them to all of his branch managers in the area. They provided us with a $25,000 grant, $5,000 to each of our secondary schools. They are planning to do the same for our elementary and alternative programs next year and are looking to build a deeper partnership with the schools. They are also providing literacy, lessons in financial literacy for our seniors in economics classrooms this spring, and are wanting to make a difference as employees working in Santa Cruz in our education system. We have been doing lots of interviewing and lots of recruitment over the last couple months. Molly and her team have been at several recruiting fairs, and I was able to attend with her in Chico this past Saturday. We were sharing just before the meeting started about that it's a really different landscape out there as we're recruiting teachers in California right now with a teacher shortage. We have been fortunate to be able to find some outstanding candidates, and we have been bringing, we'll continue to bring new names to you. As we're able to hire, we've been fortunate to bring folks in. Last week, coming off of spring break, we had two board community meetings, one at Santa Cruz High School and one at Bayview. These meetings have been well attended. I really feel like it was a very good idea that the board had, that we hold these meetings through the school year, and I think they've been successful. It's been an opportunity for us to connect more informally in the school district with the community and our parents and hear what needs are in a less structured, less formal setting. We had our second ad hoc facilities committee meeting this week to discuss district-wide facility issues, including enrollment impacts at elementary and at Soquel High, natural bridges, and the possibility of a faculty housing project. The group has identified some initial ideas that we're going to bring forward to a community meeting next Tuesday, the 26th of April, at 6 o'clock at Brand Supporting Middle School. We advertise this meeting in the Sentinel and via our email lists, and we'll be sending out a survey as well to stakeholders that aren't able to attend that meeting to give input on the ideas that were given and to bring forward new additional ideas as well that the ad hoc committee can then wrestle with and to bring forward to you in the future. Our facility steering committee on the long-range facilities master plan is set to begin meeting tomorrow night. There's representatives from each of the schools participating in that, both parent and staff representation. And this steering committee will ultimately determine the final priorities for the master plan that will be brought before the board. This week, I also began my faculty meeting visits to solicit further input from faculty on our long-range facility master plan and to talk to them about the potential of a bond initiative in the fall. I will visit every school site before the end of May to speak with each faculty about the plan. Tomorrow night at Cabrillo at 4 o'clock, we will be holding a Santa Cruz County College Commitment Community Meeting. If anyone would like to attend and hasn't RSVP'd yet, you're most welcome to do so. The topic of the community meeting will be an update on the work of S4C this year, which has largely been around the Gates planning grants. We are set to submit the final Gates implementation grant at the end of this month, and this community meeting will also be one last opportunity for us to collect input on the work around mathematics countywide from different stakeholders. I was contacted last evening by the superintendent principal, Siddons from Bonnie Doone, about an issue with the Metro impacting some of our students who come in from Bonnie Doone. There's a plan to reduce services coming from Bonnie Doone into the city and concern that this may adversely affect our students trying to get to school. Bonnie Doone School Board is passing a resolution at their board meeting this week, and I have asked Stephanie to get me more information about the situation, more information about how this may be impacting our students that do commute in from Bonnie Doone, and I'll be bringing that back to you. Thank you.
Student reports.
We have The Little Mermaid, Allison, coming out this weekend. Opening night is Saturday, and I believe it's at 7:30. Everyone's welcome to come. We just were informed that the Reddit community of that Mr. Neri will be taking over as principal at Harvard from Richard Davis. Doesn't affect me very much as a senior, but it's big news for a lot of students and parents as well. Last Friday, we were all concerned about the off-campus altercation that happened at the gas station. I believe things are happening with that. I was away. The overall mood doesn't seem different, but it's a concerning thing that happened. I believe we all still like open campus, though. So I mean, it's still important, but it's an important issue to be aware of.
Okay, so as you may have noticed, there's quite a bit of excitement amongst Santa Cruz High athletes at the prospect of our new field. Again, being a senior, that's not something I can be thrilled about personally, but I'm really excited for all of my peers who have always heard the kind of horror stories of experiences on the grass field after the football team away with it. Among thespians, there's not so much excitement as panic as we realize that we are about 2 weeks away from our show. We're doing Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors, and ask me how that's going when I haven't just come from rehearsal. Seniors have been out of class a lot visiting college as the May 1st decision deadline looms. And actually, recently, I somewhat inadvertently got involved with an effort to encourage eligible students to register to vote, or at least spark their interest in that. So I've been talking with the county clerk and Mr. Kopal, the assistant, one of the assistant principals at Santa Cruz High, as well as some teachers looking at efforts to do that. So more about that later. And Free Speech Friday is gaining some ground. It's occurred twice now, and it's going to happen again next week, and the audience is growing, and students have been contacting me in the hallway asking questions about it and offering suggestions, so that's really cool to see the momentum that's happening there. And just a general kudos to whomever saw to it that the broken Chromebooks were replaced on some of the carts at Santa Cruz High, because that is very helpful as a student who has to use a Chromebook for class a lot. That's it.
Thank you. And board member reports.
First, I'd like to thank this board as well as our neighboring board support for re-electing me to CSBA delegate for another 2-year term. I appreciate your confidence in me. And I was asked on behalf of the Santa Cruz Education Foundation to extend an invitation to this board as well as to everybody here for the Eddy Awards, which are Tuesday, the May 3rd. It's starting at 6 p.m. at Cornwall. And also, Galt Elementary would love everyone to come this Sunday and eat pancakes and eggs and have a good time on the Bouncy House and the Dunk Tank, 9 to 12 on Sunday.
I will submit my report to you.
I thought the math study session was important for two reasons, in no particular order. First of all, we learned a lot through the presentations of the teachers. And secondly, I think that it's rather solidified at this point in the minds of a good number of teachers in the district that we really are earnest and sincere when we say we don't know, we very much would like to know. You, the teachers, administrators working in direct contact with, I should say these are my opinions, I hope they reflect the board's, but they are mine. You who are in direct contact with the students need to inform us, and we need to spend a good deal of our time listening to you and processing what you have to say. And only when we do that can we make informed decisions. So it was very, very rewarding for me to sit at a big table, and I thought symbolically it worked very well. It was good feng shui. We sat at the same table. We weren't talked to. We talked among each other. And I was just really delighted. So I felt that somehow, in my own mind, that was a symbol of all that we've done and tried to do. So both in message and in content, I couldn't be happier with the direction of the board, which is simply to say that we need to hear from teachers, not just in math, but in all of the disciplines. And they need to be confident and bold and ask the hard questions of themselves and us to move us forward in the right direction. Thank you.
I'd like to echo the sentiments of Member Shonin. I much appreciate the time that was given and the opportunity to really base my decisions on information that come not just from one direction, but from all that best serve our students. I'd also like to be practical and take this time to invite everybody to the campus cleanup this Sunday. After you have that pancake, head on over to Santa Cruz High. We meet at 8:30 in the back. And also to save the date for Saturday, May 14th, that'll be the Soquel High campus where we will be doing a cleanup, concentrating on the stadium area, preparing for graduation and all the families to visit. So, thank you.
I attended the Santa Cruz High School community meeting. The library was filled with people who care about the students, and some great ideas were discussed. I really appreciate the community meetings, and I find that I always learn a lot of new things. With my colleagues, I attended the math study session and also really enjoyed the experience. Passionate teachers and coaches were sharing what they're doing and answered our questions. It was a great opportunity for us to learn more about our district. The session was successful, and I think one of the best things about being a trustee is working with all the amazing people in our district.
I also attended the Santa Cruz High community meeting and had a great time. There were so many people with so many ideas, and it was just so satisfying to have so many people show up. And I just wanted to add to that that when we, Chris Monroe thanked the board for coming up with this idea, but we all came up with this idea together. And when we started, we would go to the meetings not having any idea what was going to happen or if one person was going to show up or 50. And now it's become part of our life, and we've learned a lot from it. And I personally want to thank Chris because she doesn't just do these community meetings, she does the staff meetings, and she is out in the community with the various parts of this city, like the university, like PCS, like Boys and Girls Club, all the places that she goes and speaks for us and learns what is needed in this town. It's really impressive, and I think it doesn't get noticed often enough. And I really did notice it at the Santa Cruz High meeting, that we have really come far with the idea of hearing from the community. And I really appreciate it. Thanks, Chris. I was also at the Ad Hoc Facilities Committee. I'll get the name right. There's two of them, so I get mixed up. Meeting again this week, which also is really interesting and satisfying because we're trying to solve as many problems as we can in terms of what we do with our schools and how. No easy answers, but it's been great to be part of people putting their minds together to think about these ideas. I'm really happy to hear about Free Speech Friday. And I have a particular family member who went to Santa Cruz High who is going to be so thrilled because it's something that Santa Cruz High used to do. It used to be actually kind of the emblem of Santa Cruz High that they would have such things. And it kind of died out over the years. So I'm really excited to hear that it's back and that the Santa Cruz High students are getting excited about the election and about talking over ideas together. And finally, I'd like to encourage you to come to the Eddy Awards. It's an amazing experience. You get a sense of schools and teachers like you cannot get any other way. The teachers that win the awards and the schools that win the awards all roundly deserve them. My sister is honored by one of the awards that's given, the Roseanne Coonerty Lane Teacher of the Year Award, and it's always a thrill to me to sit and listen to the teachers that have done things that are so different and so connected to the students. So I would encourage you to come. It's also funny usually and a lot of fun. So that's my last of my report.
So I attended the Bayview community meeting, and I also want to thank Chris and talk. It's such a great experience, and I think people are getting used to it. Board members are getting used to it. The community is getting used to it. It followed the Bayview PTA meeting, and we just are really lucky to have such a dedicated group of parents that we can work in partnership with for the benefit of our schools. It was awesome. I, with Angela, attended the Santa Cruz City School Teachers Leadership Meeting and was just blown away and impressed by the serious dedication that our teachers show to issues around curriculum and equity. The topic was equity. So I got to spend about an hour and a half with our fine teachers last week. I met with Ron Indra, who's the director of the Safe Schools Project, and Eileen Brown, the Director of Student Services. We had our first meeting to develop a plan for launching the Santa Cruz City School LGBT Task Force. We have about 25 people that are across multiple stakeholder groups, teachers, administrators, counselors, parents, community members, all really willing to come together and talk about how to make sure that students, our LGBT students, are well supported in all of our schools. I met with the Santa Cruz Live Oak Youth Violence Prevention Task Force. We had a meeting. It was before the Harbor incident, but the work group is very, ready to meet and talk about what happened and how the Safe Neighborhoods work group in the larger group can address things that are happening and better support our kids. And then finally, I met with the president of the Live Oak, the newly formed Live Oak Education Foundation, about the parcel tax measure that is going out for our feeder district. It'll be on the June ballot, and I'll be emailing trustees with a little bit more information about how to support that effort. It's very similar to Measure P, It has a lot of the same programs that it will support for Live Oak schools, and so it will mean that as Live Oak students come into our district, along with Santa Cruz City Schools students, that they have a similar base of enrichment experiences. So it really is around equity. And then finally, I'd like to invite everyone to Harbor High's musical, The Little Mermaid. My daughter is directing. I have an actress daughter. When you have a director and an actress in the same house, you try to stay away from the topic. But it opens this weekend, and it'll run for three consecutive weekends. And I'm just very thrilled to hear from families that are dedicated to athletics and know that we have a thriving performing arts community as well. Many ways to keep kids supported in our schools. And that's it from me. Okay, it's time to approve the minutes. First, for our regular meeting on March 23rd, do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Is there a student recommendation?
Aye.
Abstain.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain.
I'm sorry, Carol, did you make
yeah,
a
and Erin
abstained. I got everything.
And now approval of the minutes for the study session on April 13th.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Excellent. Now we're on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda is for matters considered non-controversial that can be passed in one roll call motion. Are there items on the consent agenda to be pulled for discussion?
Not yet. I have a question on 8.1.15. 8.1.15.
Okay, so there's nothing to pull from consent. So first we'll take questions from the board on consent agenda, and then I'll open it up for public comment on the consent agenda.
Thank you.
So questions from the board?
The 8.1.15 is the parcel tax new committee member, and I just wanted to ask, do we have a particular way? Sorry, I'm getting over the flu, so if I sound like I'm a nincompoop, it's because I am, but I'm trying. Do we have a particular system for picking people that are going to be in the parcel tax? And the reason I'm asking is also because of the fact that we're having a new parcel tax and we're probably going to have some new people. So when this came up, I was wondering how we go about deciding.
So a bond oversight committee is going to be different from our parcel tax oversight?
No, I mean our parcel tax. We don't have any athletic people and we don't have any...
The objective of an oversight committee really is not to have representatives of specific groups. That's going to be how we have done it.
Uh-huh.
Generally speaking, it's people who are uninvested and are just looking to see that you're following, that you're compliant with what the language of the parcel tax is. So it's oversight of the language of how the parcel tax is supposed to be spent from the ballot to make sure the district has spent it accurately. So
I understand that.
Are you asking that we shift or that we add people to, because this is a 30-some member committee?
No, I'm not asking. Just clarifying. No, because I agree that the way the parcel tax committee it should be set up is that it's the community oversight committee. However, the committee has been, even in this time, chosen because of certain kinds of people that are missing. Because a library person had to be picked, not an anybody person. So we're still going by the old system. And so I'm trying to understand what's going to happen when we add the career tech and the athletics in. And am I saying that we need to add 82 more people? No. but I was trying to figure out, number one, what we were going to do, and number two, how.
I think we're off
topic.
Are we off topic?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking
that we'd need to bring this back for discussion if the board would like to. We'd have to look at the bylaws, because right now the composition of the PTOC is established by the bylaws that we have. So if the board wants to amend the bylaws that exist for the Oversight Committee, we could bring them back for review.
So let me just ask a specific question about this one then. How did that happen?
The appointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went directly off the bylaws. And there are specific instructions of step-by-step group based individuals depending upon if they are a board member, representative, or if they're representative from the site or from a particular group. And those are the steps that were followed.
So you went to the group and the group decided?
Well, depending upon the positions that were filled, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's all.
Okay, any other questions? Oh, Jeremy?
The role of the board is to give direction, and I think Chris's point is well taken. I would hope that I have some agreement that we ask the superintendent to bring back to the board this topic so that we can review the role of the Oversight Committee and align it, as I think it should be aligned, in the direction that Chris laid out, as a true Oversight Committee of made up, in spirit at least, of impartial people making sure that the money is spent the way it is supposed to be spent, and nothing more, nothing less. So I'm wondering if there's agreement on the board to direct the superintendent to do that.
Is this the right time to do that?
So right now we're in consent, and so either we needed to pull it, and it really isn't, this item isn't on there. Nancy for some feedback.
I think another option would be to move forward, if you're comfortable with it, with what's on the agenda tonight, we could have one of our for the record Then we ask the superintendent to bring this back at a later date, or maybe at one of your study sessions, or however you guys want to work that out, revisiting the bylaws so that moving forward in the future, the committee could reinvent itself maybe in a new way.
Thanks so much for the clarification. For the record, I would ask that, yes.
Nancy literally has my back. Okay, so are there any more questions on the consent agenda? So now we're opening up to public comment for consent.
I'm Jim Washington. I'm the community support, and I would urge you very strongly for a yes vote on 8.1.9. To get this as a completely legitimate waiver and there should be no doubt in anybody's mind about how necessary it is. Thank you so much.
Any other public comment on consent?
Don't forget gifts.
Do we have a motion for the consent agenda?
Move approval. I'll second.
And for the record, may I just say that I'm going to state it as with minus items 8.1.3 and 8.1.4.
Yes. Thank you
for the RFPs. Thank you.
Did you get the motion in the second? May I say, excellent. Student recommendation?
Aye.
Aye.
And this is a roll call?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, report of actions taken in closed session.
Gifts
first. Sorry. Gifts first. Sheila.
Okay. We want to acknowledge and accept the following gifts donated to the City School District. For De La Viega Elementary School, Karen Bauman donated books, games, art supplies, puppets, therapeutic materials, and office supplies for student use. And for Costanoa High School, Mr. Kim Fudge donated art supplies to the school. So we're very thankful for the gifts.
Excellent. Thank you, Sheila. Claudia, report on actions taken in closed session.
The Board of Trustees heard an update and provided Assistant Superintendent Molly Parks with direction regarding GSCFT negotiations. The Board of Trustees conferred with real property negotiators. And the Board of Trustees took action on certificated, classified, and management leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. Frank Wells was appointed Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services.
So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Frank. Frank is joining us as Assistant Superintendent, and we're thrilled to have him on board.
Welcome.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Okay, the first item of business is 8.3.2.
Actually, we had a staff report.
Sorry. Staff report, 8.3.1. Staff report, general obligation bond, financial analysis.
Thank you, President Thompson. It is with my distinct pleasure that tonight I introduce Mr. Mark Farrell. Mr. Mark Farrell is the president of Dale Scott & Associates. A year ago, the district committed to a contract with them to provide financial advisory services for the district, and we began to look at the parcel tax piece, the facility bond, as well as particular certificates of participation. It's a contract that's highly recommended, not just from our local county office of Ed, but also from the state. To gather and provide assistance to the school districts as they go out to secure financing. Tonight, as we continue the investigation into the facility bonds on behalf of Santa Cruz City Schools, Mr. Farrell's here tonight to present some of the feedback and information that he's gathered and analyzed on behalf of the accessibility for us as Santa Cruz City Schools, both from the elementary and secondary perspective, and what it may mean for our potential election that we have been continuously reviewing in November of 2016. So without further ado, it's my privilege to introduce Mr. Mark Farrell on behalf of Dale Scott & Associates.
Thank you, Jim, and I'd like to thank you for, I think, the promotion you gave me calling the president.
No, vice president.
And actually, it's senior financial advisor. The president is actually still the namesake, Dale Scott. Thank you very much for having me. President Thompson, members of the board, Superintendent Monroe, members of cabinet. Since it's my first time here, just a real brief background about Dale Scott & Company and myself. So the firm has been around for almost 13 years. We work exclusively with California school districts and community college districts on financing, like general obligation bonds, certificates of participation, trans. I've been at Dale Scott for about 3 years and doing this type of work for going on 14 years. And so I thought we'd do kind of a brief rundown of kind of general obligation bonds, how they work, looking a little bit back at the existing bonds and kind of some very preliminary thoughts on what a new bond might look like. And actually, we, as you know, basically do the presentation twice, once for the elementary and once for the high school. So starting out, general obligation bonds are backed by property taxes, ad valorem tax on all taxable properties within the district. And so one of the first things we look at is the assessed value. We're going back and looking at the historical growth. On average in the elementary district, it's grown at about 5% annually. And then as we start thinking about the new bonds, we have to think about, well, how do we expect assessed value to grow going forward? And we typically recommend taking a very conservative estimate to that growth. And so if we look backwards at the district's last bond for the elementary district, Measure B, a $28 million bond program, there are two series of bonds remaining. The Series A and B bonds were refinanced in 2005 and refinanced again in 2013. So all told, you have about $16.8 million of bonds outstanding, principal amount outstanding from Measure B. On the right, you can see the tax rates. So currently, the tax rate is just a little bit over $20 per $100,000 assessed value. And assuming a 3% assessed value growth, which would be relatively conservative based on what we saw on the last slide, we can expect that tax rate to kind of slowly decline until the bonds are fully paid off in 2029. So if we think about what a new bond might look like, the kind of laid out this chart in two different ways. And so when you put a bond program together, one of the first things to recognize is the dollar amount typically that you ask voters to approve. In this case, we're showing a potential $68.6 million bond for the elementary school. Those bonds aren't delivered all at once. So the voters approve a dollar amount, a maximum dollar amount that the district can issue and access, but those bonds are typically phased in over time. And so what you see on the right with that graph, the three different colors, those are three different series of bonds that would be issued approximately 3 years apart. And then on the table on the left, you can see the estimated dollar amounts. And these, again, are preliminary numbers. We're assuming 3% assessed value growth. We're assuming the Prop 39, this is the 2000 Prop 39 that governs general obligation bonds that allows, that lower the voter approval threshold to 55%, not the solar energy Prop 39 that just passed a couple years ago. So we're assuming that maximum $30 per 100,000 tax rate, and that would generate again that $68.6 million. Issued roughly in equal dollar amounts spread through the year. This would really then be more tailored to what the facilities plan has identified, the timing of the construction projects. So as you get closer to actually putting a bond on the ballot, and then once you actually pass the bond, this timing and dollar amount might change a little bit based on what your actual needs are, what your construction needs are. But what the voters are limiting you to will be the bond projects that you identify and that maximum dollar amount that's in the bond language. So if we flip to the high school, pretty similar assessed value growth, obviously a much larger tax base, but about 4.9% growth over the last 10 years. Very similar tax rate for the high school bonds, right around $20, a little bit over $20 this year. And again, that is projected to trend down until 2029 when the bonds are paid off. The payments for both the Measure H bond and Measure E bonds are level or flat every year. So as assessed value grows, that tax rate drops. And the original $58 million in principal amount that was issued, about $33.8 million. Using the same assumptions for the high school as for the elementary, we've worked out to about $140 million bond. Again, spread out over about 6 years, issuing the first series bond in 2017 with about $53 million, and then 2020 and 23 at $44 and $32.4 respectively. So again, the same terms, 3% growth rate, we're assuming $30 tax rate, we're assuming 25-year bonds. So the bonds will be paid off each series after 25 years. It assumes current interest bonds only. So if you remember back, there's two types of bonds. There's capital appreciation bonds. These are bonds that don't have semi-annual interest payments. The interest actually compounds annually and is not paid until maturity. So those bonds are a little bit more expensive because of that compounding nature of the interest. Current interest bonds are simple interest. So every 6 months, you just pay an interest payment. And then the principal is due maturity, so it's a little bit more less expensive type of bond. And so we're kind of building assumptions around that as opposed to the more costly capital appreciation bond. And then lastly, kind of put together some milestones. Typically, sometime around April, the process to assess voters' opinions about a bond would begin. The voter opinion survey will be conducted at the end of May. I start finalizing the bond language, the project list, all the dollar amounts, the tax rates that will be proposed to the voters and the community. Still a little bit of time then to determine when to actually bring the resolution back to the board. Usually that's kind of in the June timeframe, late June. Resolution to the board to agree. The election day was November 8th. And then once the bonds pass, it takes about 30 days for the county to certify the election results. And so you'd be looking at probably having, if you wanted to move this quickly, you could have the first meeting of the bond pass around the March timeframe. So that's if you want to move that quickly. There's no timeline. Have to issue the bonds by sunset provisions. You have to issue all the bonds by a certain period of time. So it's really, really dictated by your needs and the construction capital sense. Happy to answer your questions.
Jeremy.
Thank you for a clear presentation. If I'm adding things up correctly, we're talking about $30 per 100,000 at the high school and $20 per 100,000 at the elementary for 50,000 total. And so we would, for the average home in this town is about $750,000, they'd be looking at $375 per year on their tax bill for this bond.
For this bond alone, it would be 30 plus 30, so it'd be $60 per 100,000.
It'd be 60, so I've got to...
The way the numbers are laid out here, using that maximum $30,
wow.
$60.
My apologies, it would be over 400. That's ambitious. I guess my question then is this certainly the $200+ million is essential to us. Is this kind of rate something you've seen in other districts, and how does it compare, for example? Thank you.
Sure. I mean, one thing I would say is this isn't necessarily the bond that is being proposed.
Correct.
So this is a theoretical, basically setting the upper limit.
Okay.
On the dollar amount of the bond that the district could ask voters for. So if we look at then, if you look at a unified school district, a unified school district has a $60 tax rate limit. So essentially, you're asking for that combined $60 tax rate limit as if you're a unified school district rather than a separate high school and elementary district. So when you look at it from that perspective, you'd be looking at between the old bonds and the new bonds, about $100 tax rate between $20 on the elementary, $20 on the high school for the outstanding bonds, another $30 on top. It's about $100 tax rate. That's not out of the ordinary for school districts, unified school districts throughout California.
As we've been working on that long-range facilities master plan right now, the current estimate of facilities needs in the school district is about $300 million. We know that in a decade's time, we couldn't make all of those repairs and address all of those needs. Our buildings are between 50 and just over 100 years old.
And
in order for us to provide 21st century education to kids and support them with safe facilities that have current resources and for science labs and career technical education, and it's something we'll want to continue to explore and talking about what's reasonable and what we can do with what our needs are. It's not looking like the governor is going to be putting any dollars into facilities for K-12 education. So these are all things, the fiscal implications, all those things, the long-range master plan are all things we're going to need to be thinking about as we move forward and explore this process.
Sheila?
My questions are going to sound very basic because I have a very basic understanding of bonds. So is Jeremy right when he says that this means that the average, for instance, an average person who owns a $600,000 house is going to be paying $300 a year for a bond or more?
Correct. So
because I don't remember that showing up on my tax bill.
When we quote the tax rates, we always say a $30 or $60. We're talking per 100,000 of assessed value. So that's one thing also to make sure as you think about the tax rate, it's on the actual assessed value. So if you look at your property tax bill, it's what the home is assessed by the county, not current market value. And so
right.
because of how Prop 13 works, you can have two homes right next to each other, you know, basically the same home, one sold 20 years ago, one sold last year, and we have very different sales values. So it's kind of a one thing, it's a little bit odd about how this works with Prop 13, right. I guess. So we would say it's...
Can I just ask a follow-up question to that? I have no doubt of the need. That's not the question to me. I frankly am a little nervous about whether we're reaching the top of what our community can support. We're not a wealthy community, even though we may look that way. I was a little confused by on the high school bond sizing analysis. You say the potential for $140 million for the high school bond measure at $30 per $100,000 tax rate. And then on the elementary, it says, using reasonable assumptions, tax base could support a $68.6 million bond. So the two statements were so different that I had a hard time putting them together to make sense of what we're saying about the two. Like, I don't know what the $1 million one is up here or the... so much per tax rate is down here.
So the reason for the difference, the high school boundaries cover a much larger area. So the high school, the total assessed value of the high school is basically double what it is for the smaller elementary school area. So that same $30 tax rate multiplied by that larger tax base, that's what generates that difference between 68.9 and 140. So it's just the different boundaries and the total amount of property value for the two different areas is different.
So the 30 per 100,000 is true for the high schools, but it's still true for the elementaries, or it's not?
It's still true for the elementary.
But the high schools is a larger.
Yes. So the high school, the assessed value of the high school district area is about $18.5 billion. And for the elementary, it is 8.8.
And this is assuming this is what we can absorb. This is what our tax base can absorb. Not necessarily what we'll do, but it's what we can absorb.
Right. And basically, the primary assumptions that go into the bond plan at this stage will be the assessed value growth assumption. And we think with Prop 13, the county's allowed to increase the assessed value at 2% per year. We think 3% is a reasonable assumption to go above that just because of the turnover of homes. Going much more than that starts to create risk that you can't adhere to that $30 or whatever tax rate promise you make. So, yes, you could show that you could issue a much larger bond and you could assume a much higher tax, or excuse me, assessed value growth project, but we wouldn't recommend doing that. So this kind of starts getting to the upper limit of what we think is financially possible in one bond reduction.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to call on Jim and then Jeremy and Tyler.
Thank you, President Thompson. I just wanted to, again, reiterate what Mark was mentioning. As part of this purity analysis of what the current maximum is, also in conjunction with the state law of what could be charged and assessed based upon the value. Again, it's done in conjunction with our current planning as a district with the long-range facility master plan, working with our architectural group to bring everything that's needed and continuing for us locally tomorrow with our first day of our community meetings. And again, it's critical, and thank you, Mark, for addressing that piece that Sheila mentioned about the assessed value and how that is really a determining factor versus the actual market and value of the piece of property. So again, in some ways, what the analysis does here, it's interdependent with our long-range facility master plan, but it's also independent by giving us the dollar amount that is accessible by and for the district. Thank you.
Jeremy?
Quick question. One of the selling points for seniors on the parcel tax that passed was the over 65 year exemption. Will there be that possibility on this bond?
There's
and
not,
why do I, I'm afraid there is
no, there, and there's not a provision in state law that has an exemption for property tax for school bond property tax.
And then a quick follow-up question. Am I correct then in assuming because our because our assessed values will rise over the years, the assumption is that we could tell people, well, it's so and so much now, but 5 years down the line, it'll feel cheaper, so to speak. I'm speaking in layman's terms.
So if assessed value grows more than you project,
yes,
then it won't be a $30 tax rate. It might start at 30 and then 29 and 28 and so on.
Thank you.
Patty?
Both Jim and that just answered my question, and I just wanted to reiterate that I am correct and to know that it is not the percent, because I would do the simple math of the market values saying that, but the truth of the matter is your assessed value. And it only, and at a 2% increase, which is the maximum by law with our Prop 13, we could start counting on saying that 5 years down the road, with just that formula, we will be decreasing on that.
Slightly,
but still. Okay, it is important because it is, a Sheila's pointing out, you know, a community ask for what we can tolerate for our needs.
No more questions from the board?
I just want to make one other comment. I think one of the other things that we've been able to do with the school district on the previous bond measure in 2013, we were able to refinance that, which ultimately ended up saving taxpayers' dollars. And, you know, that's our commitment to continually to be prudent as we look at what we're asking from our community. And again, this is the limit. This is just a beginning of the exploration. We're not saying that we would be going out for this amount. We have tremendous needs, but we need to be thinking about what are doable projects, what are the greatest needs, and how do we go about meeting those and putting together a plan that would responsibly serve our students and respect the support of our community.
Are there comments from the public?
I just like a clarification. Your proposal is that there's no exemption for senior citizens.
That's correct. School general
obligation. And just like to reiterate what Chris said, having worked and helped pass the last bond, this particular school district was very diligent in seeking out financial assistance in redoing the bond and saving the taxpayers a great deal of money. Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
Any other comments from the public? This isn't an action item, but are there any other comments or discussion from the board?
Actually, I think Mr. Farrell is making a trip tonight again. This is part of your commitment as a board also to make sure that we're presenting this in a manner that's not just coming from one perspective, but independently from the financial advisor also on behalf of the district. So thank you for making the trip.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. 8.3.2, resolution 43-15-16.
Tonight I bring forward a resolution to approve the certificated layoff side letter agreement between the district and the Greater Santa Cruz Federation of Teachers. You did get this agreement in your closed session, and there's been some out here. And it will result in a total of a 0.33 layoff for next school year.
Are there questions from the board? Public comment? Do we have a motion?
I move approval.
Second.
I'm sorry, the second was?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
And this is a student recommendation?
Aye.
This is a resolution?
Aye.
8.3.3, resolution 44-15-16.
I bring forth a resolution to approve May 16th to the 20th as the week of the classified employee of Santa Cruz City Schools. It's important to recognize people all through the year, but it's a special week that sites and district can take time to really honor the incredible work that's done by our classified employees every day.
Any questions from the board?
or comment from the public?
Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Everybody wants to move approval on that. And a second?
Second.
So let's, student recommendation?
Aye.
And vote, resolution?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, so that is the conclusion of our general meeting, and we will reconvene immediately as a study session.
Can I make a comment?
What? Can you make a comment?
Yeah.
Sure.
I am not sure I'm going to make it all the way through this meeting. And I, Jim, one of the things you were bringing up is something that I specifically asked for. So I apologize ahead of time if I have to leave. And I'll show up at your office at 7 o'clock at night.
I'll probably still be there.
I know. That's the thing. But I really appreciate you putting
in effort. There's a little information about the change in process. The purpose of the meeting tonight is to educate board members about our budget to ensure they are prepared to make budget decisions. The presentation will be lengthy. Members of the public may have questions. However, tonight's session does not contain time for a question or answer format. There will not be any decisions made. We are just here to get information. But I will open it for public comment before we start the study session. Is there anybody in the public that would like to comment before we start? Okay, I'll turn it over to Jim.
Thank you again, President Thompson. Again, this came as a request at a meeting from the board regarding clarification of information regarding materials budget and property taxes. So my staff really worked hard to get this information. Hopefully continuing the piece, I think as mentioned earlier, trying to keep it as simple and understandable as possible for not just us, but for the board and for the public to understand. So based upon information, we wanted to give first just a visual of what really makes up our general fund budget. And so, you know, it's what's funded by the dollars from the state or by local taxes. And what you see on this graph for this visual is that approximately just below 60% of our general fund budget goes to certificated salary and benefits. Another 23% goes to classified salary and benefits. And so you can see that making up the general fund based upon salary and benefits throughout the district, you're looking at about 83%, just below 83%. 82 to 83% of salary and benefits, which puts us in a much better position than the district was a couple of years ago when revenue limits were being deficited by the state and we were really beginning to achieve marks closer to 89-90%, sometimes exceeding that, and the districts that are really challenged to maintain programs and support the programs based upon those percentages. Another 6.58%, just below 7%, goes to books, materials, and supplies, which is what we've concentrated on tonight. And just under 12% goes to services and other operating expenditures, which will consist of any type of service. It could be educational, contractual, for staff in the classroom. It could also mean as far as PG&E, sewer, garbage. That all falls under this category. So that's how the state wraps up all of our information as far as a district. And we break these out accordingly throughout the report, you know, a minimum of three times a year here. And then on an annual basis when we close the books to get these dollar amounts. This is what we're projecting right now to finish out this year for us at Santa Cruz City Schools.
This next slide indicates what are some of these specific material and supply budgets we have as a district. We gave you, you know, the general fund, again, going back to